good to be saved. I have my own prayer requests. The Lord knows what they are. I want to read one verse, and it's the 18th verse in that chapter. And it's whenever, and I'll give you just a little synopsis, just wrap this thing up neatly. We had a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. He'd gone out. He's met Paul somewhere along the way. Some thought might be in a prison somewhere, maybe a Colossae jail or somewhere. But while he was holed up and while he was locked up, God don't put anybody anywhere by mistake. The same as this Philippian jailer, whenever Paul and Silas would sing praises at the midnight hour, there was a Philippian jailer that would have fell on his sword, no doubt, and killed himself, thinking that everybody had fled. But then they hear he hears the word, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all still in here. We ain't gone anywhere." And then because of the very miraculous event, the earth shakes, the walls and are clamoring, the doors fly open, but nobody flees. Paul's still there. Silas still there. No doubt they're still singing Amazing Grace or whatever rendition would have been way back then. They're still praising the Lord. And this jailer runs in and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And then you see that he takes that salvation experience onto his own house. Well, this runaway slave by the name of Onesimus, he's met up with Paul, and Paul has told him no doubt about Jesus, and he's gotten saved by God's grace. And Paul sends him back with this little letter. It's almost a postcard, if you will, to go back to Philemon. And that 13th verse is what I was, or 18th verse is what I was willing to look at tonight. And if I were to preach tonight, I would have preached out of this little book tonight. But this letter that he wrote back, it said, "If he hath wronged thee," speaking of Onesimus, the runaway slave, the one that could have been killed for what he did. A death sentence was justified under the law. It was warranted that he be put to sleep and killed. But he said, "If he hath wronged thee." Folks, we could stop right there preaching all night message on "if." But God, we have wronged God. There ain't no ifs, ands, ors, or buts about it. We've wronged God. Now, how would it be if the high court of heaven called out a pronounced a sentence against us and said, "If Ben has sinned, then do this. If John has sinned, do that. If Mark has sinned, do this." My goodness, folks, we have sinned. Jesus Christ used that little word "if" when he said that you are my friends if you do whatsoever that I command you. Let me tell you, Paul says in the letter, he said to, "If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, or oweth thee anything, then you put that on mine account." I'm glad that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And he bled and suffered and died. And what he did when he did just that, what he was saying to God the Father in the high court of heaven was this: "Father, if they sin, and they will sin." But the Bible said, "If any man hath sinned, he hath an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous." And the Bible said, "If a man says that he has no sin, that man makes God a liar, and the truth not even in him." But I can almost hear Jesus saying this, "Brother Tam, if old Tam's wrong thee, Lord, if Tam's wronged thee, God, if Tam's wronged thee, Father, or if Annette has wronged thee, Father, you put that on mine account." And West, God, we're going to settle this right here once and for all. And I'm glad the songwriter put that old song in the book once in a while, bless God. No, all the time. It's not just once in a while, Miss Wanda, but all the time we can come to him. And it's just about like that old Ray Stevens song. Y'all remember that song? Or he said, "It's me again, Margaret." Brother Tam, we go back to God and say, "It's me again, God." Every time we go to him, "It's me again, God." Every time we go to him, he forgives us again and again and again and again. "If he wronged me, put that on my account." And I'm glad the songwriter said that old account was settled long ago. Long ago I settled it, Brother John, down on my knee. Miss Cindy and I were talking about that. I thought of Miss Cindy that time. I thought of Sister Cindy. Well, I know this whole pew out here broke down and laughed. We were talking about the salvation experience of ourselves. And I said, "Honey, I don't know when I got saved. I know it was on the third Thursday of April in 1981. But I can't tell you if it was from right here or right there at Center Baptist Church. I don't know where I had loved him. I honestly think that it was when I stepped out. Because I don't really remember." You said, "If you don't remember what you prayed, if you don't remember the words, you didn't recite that 30-word prayer, you're still lost, preacher." No, I'm not, Brother Tam. I stepped out on faith, and I'm not saved by some prayer I prayed. I'm not saved by some tear I cried. I'm not saved by some feeling I got. I stepped out on faith, and right then and there, my
It might have been after you crawled up under there. It might have been when you got just as low as you possibly could crawl or get. But if you never had that occasion, whether it be in stepping out, y'all remember Doug and Kim Roy? He used to come years ago. I got to see Brother Doug get saved. I was preaching through, what was it, Brother Kim, the book of Revelation or something. That particular night, God took me over to Peter, talking about old Peter, and the faith that Peter exhibited. Next thing I know, it was like Doug was on one of them hoverboards they got out there. You know, one of them things you kind of float around. Old Doug was back there toward the back of the church. He just jumped on one of those, almost like he was on a hoverboard, but he just kind of floated in the altar, just kind of coming out in there.
Amen.
I was there tonight and got saved, but I believe Brother Doug got saved when he finally stepped out.
Yes.
When he let go of self and stepped on. Brother Jane, I don't know if you got saved up there or when you got in the parking lot to come back in and said, Brother, I remember that we got over here, Brother Jane. Yeah. I don't know if it was when you turned around. It might have been when you turned around. Or it might have been when you come back in. It might have been when you fell up. Might have been when you did. I like to see people, they get saved, they keep coming, keep coming, yeah. Keep coming. I'm worried about people that say they get saved, we don't never see them again. Might be like those squirrels we're trying to get rid of. Bring them in, make them a member, you'll never see them again. I hope we don't have to do the squirrels that way. That's the way it is a lot of time. Brother Todd, come on my off in the Bible. Go ahead, brother. He needs no introduction, Brother Todd McKee. He is a missionary with Rock of Ages. You're not with Rock of Ages anymore.
Were you ever?
No, huh?
Well, I don't know who he is. Good.
Amen. Well, you got a Bible tonight. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate the singing. I appreciate the preaching we've already heard. Amen. And I appreciate the Word of God tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I'm glad the Lord let us come tonight. Philippians chapter number 4, if you find your place and you're able, would you stand tonight as we read the Word of God? It's amazing the preacher mentioned, I knew I was going to be preaching out of the book of Philippians, and the preacher mentioned the Philippian jailer. Now we come to the book of Philippians, we know that Paul was writing this letter to the church of Philippi. This church was established in Acts chapter number 16. And if you study Acts 16, you'll find that three people got saved there, that a rich woman got saved, and a poor girl got saved, and a middle-class man got saved. And so what are you saying, preacher? I'll tell you what you'll find. You study Acts 16, salvation's available for all. Amen. You'll find that a Jew got saved, a slave got saved, and a Gentile got saved. It's for everybody. Amen. And the church of Philippi was established there. Philippians 4, verse number 1. Bible said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodus, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen of me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know both how to abound, I know both how to be abased and how to abound, and everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's all as we'll read tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless His Word. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you, God, for the privilege to be in the house of God. I want to thank you, God, for your kindness and your mercy and your grace and all that you've done for us tonight. Lord, I thank you for the good songs of Zion. Thank you, God, for the good sweet presence of God. And I pray you'd help us. God, you know the needs of our heart tonight. God, I realize and recognize, God, that nothing will be accomplished, God, without you. Lord, we need you tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help your servant. God, I pray for unction tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help me to rightly divide the word of truth. God, I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight. Let the word of God go forth in power. Lord, if there's one lost, God, I pray you'd save them. Any out of the will of God tonight, meet the need, get glory to yourself. Father, we'll thank you for it. Lord, I love you tonight. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for Calvary and the blood of Jesus, God, that cleanses from all sin. Thank you, God in heaven, Lord, that you put my sin on your account and paid for it on an old rugged cross of Calvary. I bless your name for that tonight. I pray you'd help us now, and we'll thank you for Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. I want to preach, the Bible says in this verse, and of course it's a very familiar verse. Probably everybody has Philippians 4 and 13 memorized tonight. But Paul, writing the church of Philippi, said this: I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I want to preach on that verse tonight. God, help me for a little while, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I want to say this before I get too far in the message. Verse 1 that is taken out of context probably as much or more than any verse in all the Word of God. It is Philippians 4 and 13. I mean, listen, a lot of people take this verse to the football field and they think they just put their mind to it that they can do anything they want to do because they can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. But you and I know tonight that when we interpret the Word of God, that we have to keep the verses in context, that we do damage to the Scripture by taking it out of context. Is that right tonight? I tell you what I want to do now. I want to examine this verse in the context that the Holy Ghost put it in and show you some things about this. But as I come to the book of Philippians tonight, there's a lot of people say that the theme of the book of Philippians is that of joy or rejoicing, because some 17 times in the book of Philippians, joy or rejoicing is mentioned. And that's amazing tonight, because the Apostle Paul wrote this letter from a prison cell. And he was in bonds and he began to write this letter under the church of Philippi. I don't really think that he has set forth to write a letter about joy or rejoicing. I simply just believe that how the joy in his heart began to overflow on the pages as he began to pen this letter to the church of Philippi. Some say the theme is joy or rejoicing. Some say the theme is about the mind. Several times in the book of Philippians, the mind is mentioned. And truly tonight, if we're going to have joy, we have to have the right mindset. Amen. But can I say tonight, I don't know if it is about joy. It talks about joy and it does talk about the mind. But I'd submit to you tonight that the theme of this book is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know the theme of the entire Bible is the Lord Jesus. But if you study the book of Philippians, you'll find that Jesus is mentioned 51 times by name in this book. And I thought about that. I thought, listen, he's the reason that we can have joy no matter what the circumstances and the situations are in our life. But I really believe the theme of this book is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you a few things about this, and I'm coming to verse 13. Y'all hang with me and let me get there. All right. I want you to notice in chapter number 1, Paul writing the letter to this church of Philippi, in chapter number 1 and verse number 21, Paul says Christ is my purpose. Amen. Look what he said in chapter 1, verse 21. You know the verse. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "He's my purpose." Amen. In other words, the Lord Jesus is the reason I get up in the morning. He's the reason that I live my life. He's the reason that I do what I'm doing. He's the reason, Paul could say, he's the reason that I endured the stripes. He's the reason that I went through the things that I went through. He's the reason that I preach the gospel. It's all about him. Can I say tonight, friend, my life and your life should be all about him. Amen. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ. He is my purpose. He's my reason for existing. He's my reason for living. He's my reason for doing anything that I do. Christ is our purpose." Amen. But in chapter 2, he tells us that Christ is our pattern. He said in chapter 2 and verse number 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? He said, who being the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross, beat unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But he said, let this mind be in you. What mind is that? It is a mind of submission. It is a mind of obedience to the will of God. Amen. And listen, he is our pattern. Jesus is the one we look to. Amen. Listen, he said, forth the perfect example of obedience and the perfect example of submission and the perfect example of love. Friend, he is our example or our pattern tonight. But I want you to notice in chapter number 3, I'm going to chapter 4, y'all hang with me. Amen. Chapter number 3, I want you to notice this, that Paul said, not only is he my purpose in chapter 1, he's my pattern in chapter 2, but in chapter 3, he said he's my prize. Look what he said in verse 10. In chapter 3, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may have apprehended for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul said in verse 10 that I may know him. Now you and I know that when he wrote this letter to the church of Philippi, that he already knew him concerning salvation. I mean that he had gotten saved on the road to Damascus and God had miraculously transformed his life. But he's writing this letter to the church of Philippi, and he said, listen, that I want to know him. One writer said about this verse that, listen, it's like Christopher Columbus when he set sail in 1492. History tells us that he set sail and he came and discovered a new land or a new world, amen? And he went back and told everybody, I've discovered a new land, a new world, a new place, a new country. And everything he said was right. But I tell you what, all he discovered was just a small portion in this country. He had never saw the Grand Canyon. He never saw the Niagara Falls. He never saw the Grand Tetons. I mean, listen, he did find a small portion of land. But there was a whole lot more about this country that he had never seen or experienced. And Paul said, thank God I met him on the road to Damascus. But there's far more about him I've yet to uncover. There's far more about him I've yet to learn, and I want to know him. Amen. And so we see he's our prize in chapter 3. But in chapter 4, Paul tells us that he is our power. He said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I submit to you tonight this all things. He says in verse number 13, I can do all things. I want to say he's not talking about all things that I want to do, but all things I should do. Amen, friend. And I really believe it. It's amazing where the Holy Ghost put this verse. I mean, you just think about this. For a moment, the Spirit of God could have put that verse in a lot of different places and it would have fit. So what do you mean? Well, listen, the Bible said in the book of Romans, Paul writing that letter to Rome, and he said this. He said, for as much as in me is, I'm now ready to preach the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And he could have followed that up by saying, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that would have fit right there.
Oh, yeah.
Would it not?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying, I'm just saying it would have fit, amen. I'll tell you where he could have put it. He could have put it in Ephesians 5, where he said, be not drunk with wine, words in excess, be you filled with the Spirit. And he could have followed that up by saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But I'm going to tell you, listen, the Holy Ghost didn't put it in Romans, and the Holy Ghost didn't put it in Ephesians, and the Holy Ghost didn't put it anywhere else, but he put it in Philippians chapter number 4, how when he deals with some very specific things that he's writing unto this church, amen. Paul begins to deal with some things in this church. Hey, listen, as he writes this letter in chapter 4, and I want to show them to you tonight, and I'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 1, he talks about being persistent. Look what he said in verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, watch this, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Listen, he is exhorting this church to remain faithful, though they faced outside pressure, and though, they faced pressure to compromise truth and to back up on their stand of the Word of God and their stand against sin and righteousness. He said, listen, no matter what the critics say, and no matter what the crowd says, and no matter what the world says, just stand strong on the Word of God. Stand fast on the truths of the Word of God. And can I say tonight, friend, that you and I, listen, we need to stand strong and stand fast on the truths of the Word of God. We live in a day of compromise, and we live in a day when people are backing up and letting down standards and convictions. And the preacher talked about holiness in the prayer room. I'm telling you, friend, listen, the Bible teaches there is a standard of right and there's a standard of holiness. I'm telling you, you and I as God's people need to stand fast on the truth of the Word of God. And he's exhorting this church that don't let down your stand, and don't back up and don't change, but just continue on being faithful to the things of God, being faithful to the Word of God, being faithful to the man of God, and stand fast in the Lord. Amen. And so he talks about persistence in verse 1. He talks about patience in verse 2. And listen, in 3. And then in verse 5. Notice what he said in verse 2. He mentions two women here in verse 2. And evidently there is a disagreement. There is a problem between these two women. So how do you know that? Well, he urges them in verse number 2. He said that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. In other words, Paul is exhorting these two women. There was a problem evidently in this church, and these two women had a disagreement. They couldn't see eye to eye, and their disagreement had been well known in the church. Amen. Evidently what they disagreed, I don't know what it was, but whatever they disagreed on, whatever they had a problem with one another about, listen, it was known amongst the church and probably was, hindering the church. And Paul said, listen, that you women, you need to learn to put your differences aside and come together and work together and be fellow laborers in the work of God. Amen. When I saw that, you know, and I thought, that sounds like every church I've ever been to. Amen. I mean, sometimes I think we've got the idea that if everybody loves Jesus, that we'll all see eye to eye and always get along. But I'm telling you, friend, that's not the case tonight. Is that right? I mean, let's just be honest tonight, friend. Listen, we're not going to see eye to eye on everything, and we're not going to agree. Listen, people have different personalities and different ways, and I'm not talking about compromising the truth, and I'm not talking about changing the Word of God, but how people have different ideas of the way things ought to be done and how the way things ought to be carried out. And it's amazing how people get sideways over their opinion or their idea, their tradition of man. And Paul said, listen, put the traditions aside, put the opinions aside, put the ideas of man aside, and come together in unity for the cause of Christ. Amen. Hey, listen. And so he's exhorting these women to have patience one with another. Hey, well, listen, we ought to be a patient people. Amen. That's right, friend. I mean, sometimes we have to be patient with each other, don't we?
That's what he's exhorting these women here. He talks about submission in verse 2 and 3. Verse 5, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The word moderation, it means to yield. Let your submission, let your yieldness be known unto all men. What's he telling them? I tell you what, he's exhorting them to submit themselves one to another. Amen. Listen, some people are dead set on getting their way all the time. It's either their way or no way. Amen. Now again, I'm not talking about compromising. But it's the way I think we'll do it, preacher. And it don't matter what anybody says. Don't matter what the Word of God says. Have this way I think we'll do it. Amen. And Paul said, listen, that you ought to be yielded one to another. I'd be yielded. Listen, I should not have to get my way all the time. Hey, listen, can I say this tonight? How somebody has to get their way all the time. That's a characteristic of a child. Amen. Oh yes, friend. You know what a baby does when he don't get his way? He gets angry and pitches a fit. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. It amazes me. People in church, friend, every time they don't get their way, they want to pout and cry and pitch a fit. Because they listen, things ain't being done the way they think they ought to be done. Paul said, put that nonsense aside and come together for one purpose and one common goal. How to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Amen. And so he talks about patience in verse. But notice he talks about praise. I'm trying to hurry. He talks about praise in verse number 4. Look what he said. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. And so he exhorts this church not only to be persistent on truth, to be patient with one another, but to praise the Lord. Amen. Continually, look what he said, rejoice in the Lord. How often am I supposed to do that? Always. Am I supposed to do that Sunday morning? Always. Am I supposed to do that Sunday night? No, all the time. Am I supposed to do it on Wednesday? No, all the time. Amen. Ain't that what he says tonight? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. There's a continuation of rejoicing. How do I do that? Hey, listen, look what he said. Now notice this. He did not say, rejoice in your blessings. Amen. Now we ought to be thankful for our blessings. Amen. But sometimes I feel more blessed than I do at other times. He didn't say rejoice in your circumstances. Why? Because they change. And sometimes our circumstances are, they're not ideal tonight. Is that right? But can I tell you tonight, he said, listen, that the foundation of our joy and the foundation of our joy, our rejoicing, it's not in our blessings or not in our circumstances, but it is in him. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Why is that? Because thank God he never changes. Amen. It does not matter what you're going through. He's still the lily of the valley. It does not matter what's going on in your life. He's still the rose of Sharon and the bright and morning star. And he's all together lovely no matter what's going on. Amen. And so listen, he talks about praise in verse 4. He talks about peace in verse 6 and 7. He said, be careful for nothing. Now wait a minute. Hey, listen, there's some of these things I say, okay, I can handle that. But that verse 6 troubles me. Why is that? Because look what it says, be careful for nothing. You know what that means tonight? It means don't worry about it. Now, yeah, you may not struggle with that like I do, but listen, Paul, I said there a moment ago that the mind is a big theme on this in this book. How Paul discusses two enemies of the mind here in this chapter. He talks about worry and wickedness. Amen. Hey, listen, he said, be careful for nothing. Why is that? Because when I'm worrying, I'm not worshiping. Amen. When I'm worrying, I'm not trusting. Amen. He said, be careful. He said, listen, but how do I do that, preacher? How do I not worry? How do I keep from worrying? How do I keep from being cumbered about with the cares of life? And how, listen, being anxious and nervous and worrisome. How do I keep from that? Look what he said. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, he said, let your requests be made known unto God. Hey, listen, friend, he said, don't worry about it, but pray about it. Amen. Notice the prayer. There's three things here. I'm hurrying through this. He said, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving. And he said, let your request. Now, it appears to me that these three things in that verse that sound real similar. Prayer, supplication, and letting your request be made known. I mean, that sounds like the same thing to me. But the Holy Ghost made a distinction in them. Amen. One writer said this, that prayer is just general praying. Just talking to God. Amen. You know, it's good just getting the presence of the Lord. Just talk to Him. Just fellowship with Him. Just let Him know how much you appreciate Him. And I just talk to Him like you're talking to your friend. It's just general praying. Amen. And then supplication is detailed prayers. One fellow said years ago, when you pray, you ought to pray in detail. If you lose your car keys, you ought to pray about them. He knows where they're at. Amen. Detailed praying. But then request is specific praying. Amen. But then he said, notice he talks about praying in verse 6. He talks about peace and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, to keep your hearts and minds. And let me say this. Everybody wants to quote verse 7. They say, thank God for the peace of God in my heart. But that's not what all that verse says. He said, the peace of God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep. Now that word keep, it means to build a fence around. It means to protect. It means to guard. Amen. He said, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friend, you won't know how to have the peace of mind in your life. You won't know how to, listen, not to worry about the troubles of life. We're to pray and seek the face of God and get in His presence. And the peace of God will protect our mind from worry. So that verse teaches. Talks about peace, verse 6, 7. Talks about purity, verse 8, 9. He said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are... Or he said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. He talks about purity in our pondering, what we think about. It's important what we're meditating on. It's important what we're dwelling upon. Amen. That's why it's important. We're to be careful about what we put in our mind. Amen. Why is it? Because what we put in our mind is what we'll dwell upon. Amen. And every thought, every deed, every action begins in the mind. Is that right? And listen, how the book of Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so is he. What we think about, what we dwell upon. Hey, listen, friend, that's what we become, or that's what we do. And so it's important that we think right. Psalmist David said, Psalm 1, he said, in thy law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Hey, we're to meditate on things that are right tonight. Amen. He talks about purity in pondering, purity in practice. Verse 9, he said, the things you both see, learned and seen in me, he said, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He said, the principles that I've taught you and that you've seen me live them out, he said, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. This is what I thought when I read that verse. You know, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I really did. I didn't know anything about it. I still don't know anything much, but know a little bit more than I did then. Amen. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I mean, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell. I knew Jesus was the Savior, and that's about all I knew. Amen. That's good enough to get saved tonight. Amen, friend. If you're here tonight and you realize you're a guilty sinner condemned before God and that He's the answer, He's the cure, He's the Savior, you're a candidate to get in tonight. Amen. Now listen, but I didn't know anything about the Word of God as far as the doctrines. And I remember a man who won me the Lord. He gave me a King James Bible and he said, here's you a King James Bible. He said, that's all you need. I didn't know what he's talking about. I remember going to church when I was just a boy, and they had a sign behind the pulpit on the wall, and real large sign, how that said nothing but the King James only. And I remember as a boy, how a teenage boy sitting in that church thinking, who in the world's King James? I thought church was supposed to be about Jesus. Who's King James? I thought that must be another name for Jesus. I mean, that's how ignorant I was. Amen. I didn't know anything. But can I say this? I've been saved for a while now. Amen. I've been trying to study the Word of God for a while. I've been saved for a while. I've been in church for a while. I don't know everything by far, and I don't know much, but I know a little bit more than what I did then. And can I say, for the most part, I know what I'm supposed to do. My problem is I just don't do it. Paul said the things you've learned, he said do them. See, it does us no good just to know what we should do. It does us no good to say, well, that's a good preacher, that's a good principle. Our friend, until we put in shoe leather, until we practice it in our life, just having the knowledge of what's right or the knowledge of what we should do does not help us tonight. We must do it tonight, amen. It's that simple. I know it is. I'm a simple preacher, amen. Hey, listen, he talks about purity, verse 8 and 9. Talks about progress in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now the last of your care may flourish again, wherein you are also careful, but you lack the opportunity. Not that I speak in respect, oh look, verse 9, skip verse 9, no, I'm right, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul said, I've learned how to be content. In other words, I've made some progress in my life. Amen. I've learned some things about serving God. I've grew spiritually and I've made some progress, and there's some things that I've learned and there's some things that I've gotten a hold of, and there's some things that I'm practicing in my life now that I didn't do back then, that I listened, that I was not capable of. But hey, there's been some progress. There's been some growth in my life. Amen. Verse 12, I know both how to base. And I know both how to be abased and how to abound, and everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be the full and to be hungry, both to abound to suffer need. In verse 13, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, what things is he talking about? He's talking about these things. Amen, friend. He's talking about, listen, look, that's where he put the verse at. You say, preacher, I never heard it like that. Hey, let's just take what the Bible says. Amen. He put it in Philippians 4 where he deals with persistence and he deals with patience, because in reality, everything he deals with is a hard thing to do. Hey, some things easy, you know. Some things easy, preaching hard living. Sometimes staying faithful when everybody else is backing up a compromise, this will be out. It gets difficult sometimes. Amen. When you're being pressured from everybody to change, you're being pressured from everybody just to let down a little bit. And if you let down your standards, you'll have a bigger crowd. And hey, listen, if you'll back up a little bit, you'll have a whole lot more people. And you're pressured from, from everywhere on every side. And sometimes it gets difficult. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, it's difficult to be patient with people. Amen. Amen, friend. Some people make it, they're hard to deal with. Is that right? These women, one of them may have been real hard to deal with. One of them may have been unpopular. And listen, sometimes it's hard to put your differences aside and swallow your pride and say, you can have your way. Amen. And so, like, can I say this? It's hard to praise the Lord all the time. Let's just be honest about it. Amen. I mean, listen, sometimes we get cumbered down with the walks of cares of this life, and how we get overcome and we do worry, and it's hard not to worry. And when we're doing those things and we get that way, then we're not praising the Lord, and we're really, listen, praying like we should. Amen. Because a lot of times when I worry, I don't run straight to the prayer closet. I mean, I'll try to figure it out in my mind, work it out in my mind. Amen. And then when I absolutely cannot decipher it or figure it out or understand it, then I'll pray about it. I'm the one of you. Y'all pray for me. Amen. Amen. Purity. Sometimes it's hard to think right. I remember when I first got saved. Amen. I remember when I first got saved. Not long after I got saved, I mean, God delivered me from a wicked lifestyle. Now, I was not raised in church, and I didn't, God just changed my life miraculously. When I got saved, God changed my life. But a lot of the wicked, ungodly thoughts, listen, was still running through my mind. And I remember going to my pastor and I said, "Preacher, I said, I'm saved, but my mind is so wicked and so many things are running through my mind." And he said, "Martin Luther said this. He said, you cannot keep a burden flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest there." And he said, "Listen, you can't help the wicked thoughts that enter your mind, but you don't have to stop and dwell on them. You don't have to stop and ponder." But I'll be honest with you, sometimes that's hard to do. Amen. Hey, listen, he talks about progress. Hey, all these things are, just to be honest about it, are difficult. But he follows them up by saying, "I can do all things through Christ." Hey, I can stand when everybody else is backing up. You know why? Through Christ. I can be patient and swallow my pride and submit to others. You know how? Through Christ. I can praise the Lord when everything else is going wrong and how the circumstances are not looking good and how, friend, I don't know what I'm going to do and I don't have the answers. I can praise. I can rejoice in the Lord. You know how? Through Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I can refrain from being cumbered about with worry. I can. But the only way I can is through Christ. Amen. I can have the right mindset, and I can live the right life, and I can, listen, do the things that I should do, and I do the things I'm supposed to do. I can, but through Christ. Amen. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ." Here's the problem tonight. Here's my problem. Let me put it that way. You know, my problem is too often I try to do it within myself. Instead of yielding to Him and submitting to Him and let Him fill me with the Holy Spirit and Him working through me. See, the Christian life tonight is not an imitation. Some people think, "Well, we want to be like Jesus." Can I help you tonight? You and I can never be like Jesus. It's impossible. Say, "Preacher, should we not strive to?" It's impossible. You and I cannot be like Jesus. Why is that? How? Because you and I was born with the fallen nature. Is that right? By one man, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We were shaped in iniquity, and sin did our mother conceive us. All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned. We were born with the nature of fallen Adam, the Adamic nature. But Christ was not born with that fallen nature.
Amen.
He was born with a divine nature.
Amen.
Amen. And I got news for you, friend. It was impossible. He was a harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And it was impossible for Him to sin. Why? Because He had the divine nature. He's God in the flesh. Amen. You say He had a human body. He did. He's 100% man. He is 100% God. I'm telling you what, friend, listen. He was not clothed with the fallen nature. He was not, listen, He didn't have the last Adam's, but the first Adam's blood running through His veins. But the Bible said He's the last Adam. Amen. And He was perfect. And He done, because He has a divine nature. But when I got saved, the divine nature that He had moved on the inside of me. Amen. And I still have the fallen nature. I still have the Adamic nature of Adam, but thank God, guess what now? Now I have a divine nature. I have the Holy Ghost of God, one just like Him living on the inside. And listen, the one that can love and the one that can do right and the one that, listen, can live holy lives on the inside. And do you know who, which one is manifested, the old man or the new man? Either one I yield to the most. If I yield and submit to the fallen nature, that Adamic nature of the old man, that's who's going to have control. But if I yield to the new man, that divine nature, the Holy Ghost that's living on the inside, then He is going to have control. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Preacher, You come. Father, in Jesus' name, Thank you, Lord, for the word of God tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for the liberty to preach tonight. Thank you for this place, these people. Help us, God, to wrap our minds and our hearts, God, around the truths of the Scriptures. Help us to hide it in our heart, God. Lord, I beg you tonight, Father, if there's one here tonight that's lost, God, I pray this would be the night that they'd see their self guilty and they'd run to you and be saved before it's too late. Anyhow, the will of God tonight, Lord, I pray maybe some just struggling with some things. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help them realize they can do it through you. Help them to look to you and lean on you tonight. Lord, I pray, Father, you'd encourage us. God, in the Word of God, help us right now. Move in this invitation, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.